and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience The Good Life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does surrendering yourself to God open an awareness that the Lord is preparing you for a specific call to ministry? This is the story of J. Harvey, how God reached out and touched him, transformed him, and today uses him to impact the lives of people all over the world. We pause for a moment at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program. Well, dear friend, it's to bring you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that God loves you so much, he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. That Jesus shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, Jesus rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of J. Harvey, is here reaching out to you. Our question: will you open your heart to Jesus? Would you turn to him? You might say, well, Danny, you don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been, or you don't know what I'm going through. And you're right, but God does. And no matter how far you feel you've gone, or how bad things have gotten, or how you might think your back is against the wall right now, even a level of hopelessness or helplessness, there is always hope in Jesus. J. Harvey is an evangelist, teacher, and author. He works with Life Without Limbs, the ministry of Nick Vujicic. He served as senior pastor at Pendleton Christian Church before being pastor at City Church in Anderson, Indiana. Jay is co-host with Christians Broadcasting Hope with Jim Lyon from the Church of God. Jay, welcome to our show.
Well, thanks for having me, Danny. I'm so excited to be on your program today.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the States, just outside of northeast of Indianapolis, Indiana, which is the capital of Indiana, about 30 miles northeast in a little town called Anderson, Indiana.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, same place where the church is that you're pastoring now, right?
Yeah, it's I grew up there. I never moved too far from there. It was a factory town. My father worked for an auto manufacturer. My mother worked at the hospital. We had a great life. I was the only child. It was a nice community, and I find myself there now again, pastoring an inner city church, a very diverse, low income environment type of church. And the Lord called me to that just a couple of years ago. So I've been there almost 2 years now.
Who influenced you most, Jay, in your growing up years?
Well, in my growing up years, you know, my father was a great influence on me. He was well known in our community. He was a great athlete in high school. He was well known in the public and served in many public forums. But then also, you know, I had a golf coach growing up that in high school was a Christian. And he was just one of those people. I'm sure we all have, you know, two or three that we can count as we look back on that really had an impact on us. And at the time, we didn't know it. But my golf coach, Steve Barnett, was certainly one of those who probably taught me more about the Christian life as watching him, as he did with anything that he said to me. So he was a huge influence on me because I was I loved golf and I loved to play, and I was pretty good while I was in high school. And so it was a big part of my life.
Take us back. You mentioned Steve Barnett. What was it about him? Was it things that he said, things that he did? What was it that left such an indelible impression on you?
Yeah, he was just such a committed person to whatever he did. So he liked to have fun with the guys on the team. He was a teacher. He was a phys ed teacher in the high school. He took time to work with you on that. And while doing that, he also took time to speak into your life. And he would give these nuggets of wisdom, and he would always, you know, talk about Christ somewhere along the line. And it wasn't like I didn't know about, I mean, I knew about God, but I didn't really have that personal relationship with Christ. I had not yet surrendered my life. And the thing that really stood out to us the most was, and the whole team, was on his golf bag, on the side of it. This was well before, you know, people started wearing WWJD bracelets and all that. He had on his golf bag stitched, "Christ is Lord." And that was just something that we kind of thought, well, you know, he's religious, he loves God, that's great. And but looking back on that now, what a witness that was to us at ages 14, 15, 16, that this man would be bold enough to do that. And like I said, he was fun to be around. He invested in you. He invested in you over the summer to help you get better at things. And then he had his family life too, when he had a wife and daughters, and we knew that they were believers. We knew that they were Christians, and he didn't hit you over the head with it, but you just knew it. And he was the kind of person that wanted to draw the best out of you without making you feel bad. So he was just a magnet in that way.
Hmm. Your spiritual journey, your process of growth, I think you mentioned growing up, your parents exposed you to church or took you to church.
Yeah.
Take us back. How did you grow? And when did your faith come to a point where galvanized, you said, you know, this is my, I'm following Jesus. Tell us that story.
Well, you know, I'm sure my story is probably very similar to a lot of people that grew up in a Midwestern area where church was a normal part of life, but it was still hit and miss for us. We went sometimes we didn't. We didn't really have a connection there. My father grew up going to a church religiously with his parents, and it almost burnt him out, so to speak. And so when I started to grow up and see my friends go to church, and some went to this church, some went to that. Sometimes we didn't go, sometimes we did. But I knew my father had this thing about church that was kind of a barrier. And so I just kind of took that same approach. And years later, I would come to find out that my father was a very authentic person. And sometimes he just didn't find that in the church. And that should not cause us to turn away. We know that now, but it did for him for a while. So it was a part of my life, but it wasn't a prominent part. But there was always something in me that that knew, and I can't deny this, and I'm sure everybody else listening knows what I'm about to say. There was something in me that I knew was missing. There was something not there that should be there, and I was not in a right relationship with the God of the universe, our creator. That when you know that, you just know. And so I think I was pretty normal in that way. And by the time I got into high school and started to, you know, really kind of rebel and do some things that a lot of teenagers do, it became a way of life for me. And I found myself really drinking alcohol more and more and more, drifting even farther away from any type of relationship with God. But that was my experience. And it wasn't until later, after I got married, that and I had a couple of children, that someone invited me to go back to church. And it was a newer church, and it was a pastor, and that was new from Seattle. His name was Jim Lyon, and you mentioned his name at the beginning as someone that I now do a global radio program with and co-host. But he was somebody that God used at that season in my life when I was truly unhappy, an alcoholic, not sure what my future was going to be. God used that moment in my life to open my ears and let me hear the gospel again as an adult. And I tell this story often when I go out, especially into prisons all over the United States. And I say, you know, sometimes it's just your season. It's your day. It's a moment again that God gives you clarity to hear his love and gospel one more time, or again, because he's the pursuer. He's the lover of our souls. And so at that moment in my life, I heard the gospel like I'd never heard it before, that there might be hope for me. And I really was drawn to that. And over the course of months and even a couple of years of attending this church and getting to sit in and listen to this man preach, who was a wonderful teacher and someone who just knew how to communicate the gospel, I finally surrendered my life to him and to Jesus, and was baptized about a week later after that meeting with Jim in his office. And, you know, the Lord delivered me from alcohol right there. I have not drank, had a desire to drink ever since that day.
Jay, let's come back to that for, when we come back from our break, about the deliverance. Maybe you can give us more details of what that process was like.
Right.
Today, Jay Harvey shares about those moments in our lives when it's like things become clearer than they have in a long, long time. It becomes a timely moment when God's word, when God's message resonates with our hearts. We're believing that God will have a word for you through Jay Harvey, resonating with your heart, perhaps even now. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
That's right. J. Harvey's life was forever changed through a miraculous deliverance from his addiction to alcohol. Deliverance. Well, that's a theme today. But here's another underlying theme, the theme of surrender. Surrender, well, here's a question. Does that undergird deliverance that God has for us, for you? What is your challenge today? What is your moment where you feel, God, I don't even know how to pray. I don't even know how to put it together. My life is in such a place where I never thought I'd be. But, oh, do I need your help? Well, if you're sensing that, feeling that, this is God's time for you here at the Good Life Radio Program. Thanks for joining us today. Jay Harvey's my guest. You might have tuned in, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment. You can get this program in its entirety as a gift to you. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's available for you. And I'd say share it with a family member or friend. Jay, how did God deliver you? Share, give us more details about what took place at that time in your life.
I was just addicted to alcohol. I was functioning to some level, but you know, I knew it had me, and this was something that, first of all, wanted to tell me that I was not worthy of God's love and forgiveness, and I was ashamed of that. But then, when, as I said before, when I started to go to church and I started to hear the gospel, and that moment of clarity came for me that this might be my opportunity to come and surrender to God and to see what he would have for me. And I even told my pastor at the time that I said, you know, I want Jesus in my life. I know that I do, but I'm ashamed of my drinking and I don't want to let him down. And I don't want to, be seen as somebody that goes to church, but still has some of these bad habits. And my pastor did a wonderful thing for me. He just smiled and he said, Jay, he said, your job is to surrender to Christ and to trust him with what will happen. And at that moment, it just kind of hit me that I had this peace that the first thing that I had to do was make this decision to put all of that into his hands, to surrender, relinquish control and just say, yes, Lord, whatever it is that you have for me, I'm tired of doing it my way. I'm ready to follow you, even with all of my garbage, all of my baggage. And that was the heart of the gospel that I've been hearing. And so I was baptized the next week. And I'd say, Danny, about 3 days after that, I just had an overwhelming feeling of peace, of release. And it was as if God was saying, not in an audible voice, but he was saying, Jay, you're never going to drink again. I've taken that away from you. And I truly felt like the chains had been lifted and all desire had gone. My life was radically changed at that moment in a direction that my love for alcohol at one point had now turned into a love for Jesus Christ. And I began to study his word and I began to lead Bible studies within the first few months. It was just an amazing transformation. So it was the power of surrender that allowed him to show me that he has the power to deliver.
Now, there's a process. There are a period of years, a good number of years between this point, and correct me if I'm a little bit off here,
right,
but from this point to where you are today doing radio with Jim Lyon, Church of God, World Broadcast, Global Broadcast, as well as working with Life Without Limbs, some curriculum writing that you're doing, as well as pastoring. You started a ministry, J. Harvey Ministries. There's some comedy involved. There's preaching involved. So fill in the gap for us.
Yeah.
Deliverance to today. Give us a snapshot of what God has done.
you know, it sounds like I try anything and to see what works, but that's not really true, because what happened was, it was such a miracle to me and to a lot of people who knew me, that I was no longer drinking and that my life had changed. And I was just full of, you know, joy and ready to see what was next. And, to fill in the gap a little bit, I did sense that God was leading me towards more of a life of ministry. And, you know, I heard some people say, well, that happens to a lot of new Christians and, you know, that feeling will pass. Well, it didn't pass for me. And so I got to a point where I knew that I think God was calling me to full-time ministry. And so I prayed, and that prayer was answered in a very specific way through a person that came to me and had, you know, told me that her job was to tell me that God had revealed to her that I was to go into full-time ministry. And you know, she didn't know I was praying for this, and I didn't know that she was going to come and tell me. And so, in the meantime, here's what happened in my life. Obviously, I needed time with God to understand exactly what he wanted me to do, how he needed to start pruning me and taking things off of my shelf that I didn't need and out of my life to prepare me, because this didn't happen until, you know, I was 33 years old. And so when I came to Christ, I was age 32 or 33, I think. And so, you know, I had a lot of things that God just wanted to groom me for. And I think the mistake a lot of people make is, as soon as they become a Christian or a follower, they believe that now they have to act and be a certain way and have knowledge, and boy, it takes time. And so as I continued to follow faithfully, there were little steps here and there that people would affirm in me, and they started asking me to come and speak at small gatherings. And I used to do stand-up comedy in college as just kind of a fun thing. I'm a funny guy. My dad was a funny guy. It just kind of runs in our family. And so that was a way that I started using my talents to encourage people with the gospel. And so I would do a little comedy, I'd do a little speaking, and then that led to writing a little book on the story of Jonah. And I just thought, well, you know, full-time ministry is probably just going to be me speaking at different places and encouraging people. But then that led to a deeper calling, which was to pastor. And that didn't really happen until about 8 or 9 years after the confirmation of the call into ministry. So all that time, God was just teaching me. He was grooming me. He was showing me things about myself that I needed to understand. He was surrounding me with people that I needed to know and be connected with. And, you know, I think we all kind of think that, well, if we say yes to Jesus, then the next day we're either going to be a missionary in Africa, or I've got to go to church every day and be a pastor and not have any fun. But this process that I went through was so fulfilling and so healthy. And I went through some struggles as well. And in those struggles, you know, he taught me that he's still faithful to the call and faithful to what he was going to use my life for. So that the day that I walked in to become the senior pastor of a very large suburban church, I had been through a lot of things since my baptism. Mm. Yes, I didn't drink anymore, but I had gone through some struggles with my jobs and my finances and health and family members' health and things like this. So I was prepared, and nobody could walk through the door of my office and tell me something that had happened to them that I wouldn't identify with. And that's when my ministry really began to flourish. It was also how I cut my teeth on prison ministry, which started a few years earlier, but it was just kind of a side thing that I did. But I can see now that God used that and began that process in me for what I'm doing today. So there are some gaps in there, but at the same time, they were all used by God. All the things that he was compelling me to do, and the patient times that I had to wait on him, you know, all those things he was forging in me into the person that I could become and still am becoming today, you know, for his kingdom and for what he wants done. So
Well, in the process of forging, Jay, you know, you talk about struggles, and people are struggling all the time.
Oh, yes.
People struggle, and you know this so well as a pastor. We tend to have, we're struggling, but there's the veneer, right? The veneer that covers up and says, well, if you look at someone, you can't really tell what's going on inside. Some people are dying inside. Some people are so desperate inside. Some people are so broken. So when you mentioned struggle as part of the process of preparation for the ministry that you have, I believe that it resonates. It resonates.
Yes.
So before we go to break, perhaps you can share an encouragement to someone who may be in a very desperate place right now that could lift them. And we'll do it now, and then we'll do it throughout the show. But a word of hope to someone today.
Yeah. If anybody's listening right now and they've identified with what's been said, that you may be struggling, you may know in your heart of hearts that this is not your destiny and this is not the way it's supposed to be, and you're wondering where God is at, be encouraged, because God often, and I would say more often than not, wants to use every part of your life, including the struggle, if you'll just be patient and just be faithful and understand that he is taking you through something so that he can use you, your story, to glorify himself. But in the process, you'll be fulfilled. Your faith will be deepened. Your ministry or your purpose will be enlarged. And so often when the pruning comes, when those struggles come, we try to look for a quick answer. We try to look for, why did this happen? And it's okay to ask that question, but I would encourage you to pray, to embrace it, to cry out to him and ask him why, but don't stay there. Always know there's a purpose for the struggle. And if you read through scripture, you know that Moses, Abram, Joseph, all of those patriarchs, they were put in complete, utter struggle situations. And look how God used that to save his people, to bring them out of Egypt, to protect his people from famine. This is the way of God. And I think the problem is sometimes we try to compare struggles too much. And I love one thing Nick Vujicic always says, and that is, don't compare your struggles. Struggling is struggling. Pain is pain. Suffering is suffering. But if you put it into the right hands, into the hands of God, and say, I understand that you are the one that can use this, I promise the perspective will change. It will not be for nothing. And, you know, I've been through it a few times. It's not pleasant. I don't seek it. But when it happens, you can bet that something is about to happen in your life that will be for the good. And God is definitely not mad at you. He is not disappointed. He is simply preparing you for something that is about to come. So take heart, my friend. Pray. Have others pray for you. Don't be afraid to talk to someone about your struggles, a trusted Christian friend, and talk those things out. Get into scripture and understand that this is the way of our master, that he is concerned with eternity, not necessarily our comfort all the time. And just know that there will be people praying for you. So take heart.
You're listening to Jay Harvey with Life Without Limbs. You can find out more about the ministry of Nick Vujicic, lifewithoutlimbs.org. And when we come back, well, we'll talk more about the crux, really, and Jay really went into it. We have a tendency, don't we, when we're in a very tight spot, when we're burdened and desperate, we're hanging on, our fists clench, as it were. When in actuality, perhaps the breakthrough comes in the release, the surrender of that desperation to God. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Yamashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So beginning in 2000, J. Harvey began to study and prepare through the guidance of spiritual mentors and the Spirit of God leading him. And today, years later, with periods of struggle, periods of testing and trials, but seeing the Lord bring him through the preparation for the ministry that he has today. He's an author, he's a speaker, he's a teacher, and he is a radio broadcaster as well. He's with us today sharing heart to heart with you. He works with a ministry called Life Without Limbs, a ministry of Nick Vujicic. You can find out more at lifewithoutlimbs.org. Jay, how did you, or let's say, when did you begin serving with Life Without Limbs?
Oh, that was a great meeting that took place, really, because Nick came to our Midwestern town. A bunch of churches got together to do an Easter service, and he was our speaker. And he really was drawn to the fact that a lot of our churches worked well together. And if you know anything about Nick and his ministry, he applauds that and seeks that. And so I was
give a snapshot of Nick and his ministry, since you brought that up.
Yeah, Life Without Limbs, based out of Ventura, California. Nick Vujicic was born without arms and legs, grew up in Australia for a time, and now has an evangelistic ministry that is worldwide, has reached millions of people all over the globe with his testimony of hope. He's about 36 years old, married with four children, actually. But his story is just miraculous, and one of the things that he does, and he is, it is a global ministry. He also has prison ministry. He's also an author, and loves to work with churches and simulcast and do a lot of things that can get this platform of hope out there. But the miracle itself is that when you see Nick and he has no arms and no legs, you are completely... the walls just kind of go down. You're drawn into this man that then has this joy and this inspiration about him of when he found Christ and at age 15 truly prayed and surrendered himself to Christ. Because before that, to go along with what we're talking about, he obviously struggled, obviously, because of his handicap. He was bullied in school. He, at age 10, thought about suicide because he didn't know if he could go on. But it was John chapter 9 that kind of grabbed his attention at one point as he was going through scriptures, because his mom and dad were Christians, and it said, you know, who sinned that this man was born blind? And Jesus said, no one sinned. This was done so that God's glory could be revealed. And Nick just truly latched onto that, and that's when his life changed. That's when his life, that's when he knew that he could be, he could have hope. He could have the same hope. He could have the same fulfillment. And one of the things that I love working about with Nick about is that his message is simple. It is, if you can't get a miracle for yourself, you can be a miracle for someone else. And when the first time I heard him say that, when he came to our Easter service in the Midwest, I thought, wow, what an amazing statement. A man with no arms and no legs, who prays for arms and legs, and he'll tell you he's got a pair of shoes in his closet just in case. But he realized that actually what God wants to do more than anything is use our circumstance, whether it's good or bad, to draw others in. And if you can't get your miracle, you can be a miracle for someone else. Well, I just loved that message, but didn't really think much else about it until a few years later. He was coming back to Indiana, and was coming to a prison close to our hometown, and I was just kind of nominated or suggested that I go and be the MC and introduce him. And ever since that day, we have just formed a brotherhood and a friendship, and it's led to now a partnership as he has launched a global prison initiative that I find myself working in, writing for, and speaking to on a daily basis, along with all of my other ministries. So that was kind of how we came together. I was introduced to him as our Easter speaker. And then, you know, a few years later, found out he was coming back, and our God just, you know, put us together one more time. And that's all she wrote after that. So it's been a great relationship.
You mentioned some writing that you do, things that are yes. going on a daily basis. Talk to us about what are you writing? What's being put out there?
Yeah, one of the things that I wrote for Nick in the prison ministry is a booklet that is used in prisons now. It's called Free in My Faith, and we really took our time to understand what was going on in the prisons right now across the United States. What was working? What wasn't? We did a lot of I guess you would call beta testing at a local prison. Where we had access to go in and really get to know some of the inmates who had been transformed by the love of Christ and were now leading groups. And so we asked them questions like, you know, what do other churches or ministries do when they come in? What works? What doesn't? What kind of language is it that we need to be talking to reach these people who don't have the love of Christ in their heart, have not surrendered? And what we really heard after about 6 months was it was all about hope. It was the word hope just kept coming up over and over and over again. And so you can imagine that you know, a church who has a prison ministry wants to go in and they want to give these guys hope or gals hope, but they're really just kind of doing another church service. It's really kind of a structured, you know, message about how to live your life better. You know, once you get out, it's about behavior and this and that. But if they don't have the hope to begin with, it was not really falling on receptive ears. And so what I was commissioned to do was write a curriculum based on certain words that were prominent in these environments. And the first one was hope. And so I wrote a curriculum called Free in My Faith. It starts with the word hope, and it talks about the differences between worldly hope and the tangible hope of Christ. That's an entry into their life behind bars, and it helps because the language is such that it identifies with their environment. I mean, can you imagine, you know, waking up every day and trying to muster up some kind of hope that somebody told you was available, but you still don't have it yet? I mean, all you can see are the prison bars or the same people over and over again. And so what we've done is we've gone in and we've written this curriculum in a way that talks about the differences between that kind of hope, crossing your fingers, and the hope that is referred to in Hebrews as the anchor for the soul, firm and secure, no matter what your circumstance is. Now, that unlocks for them this anticipatory new life that could be possible, the same one that was possible for me when my pastor spoke hope into my life when I was an alcoholic. I wasn't behind bars, but I was still in bondage. So it's the universal. Hope is universal. And so the rest of the word topics then go into anger and forgiveness and love and relationships. And they are biblically based, but I wrote them in a way that allows each of these prisoners, inmates, or even those who are volunteers going into teaching can insert their own story into the curriculum. So when I'm telling my story about hope, it goes right along with the curriculum and they can follow along. So, and if I leave and that they want to do it again the next day and they want to talk about forgiveness or another topic in this curriculum, whoever's leading it can insert their own story. And the last thing that we do is we encourage testimonies and talk back roundtable. So after they might go through a word like hope or love or forgiveness, instead of just listening, they're engaged with it, and they're engaged to talk back and talk about what it meant to them or what they got out of it or what questions they have. So that was the latest thing that I've written, and I'm very proud of it. It is, you could call it a Bible study, but it's kind of that self-revelation type of let's start with a word like hope and find out what the difference is between worldly hope and the blessed hope of Christ. And you can just see it. You can see it when they get it and their eyes light up and they go, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way.
Well, you described it, Jay, as you're describing it now. When we come back from our break, I want to drill down a little bit further. Not just supposing that everyone knows that there's a difference between worldly hope and the anchor of hope that you speak about in Hebrews. So let's go in. Someone today might be listening and says, "Yeah, I want to hear about that. I want to know further. Tell me some examples. Share some stories about this difference. I didn't even know there was a difference or a possibility of a difference." More with Jay Harvey when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling.
listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
You may be listening to this program, hearing Jay Harvey speak about hope, hope that exists even behind bars, and wondering, okay, tell me more about this hope. There's a worldly hope, but there's a different kind of hope. But you might say, Danny, I'm not even behind bars. I'm living here. I go to my apartment, my condo, my home. I go to work. But perhaps there's something that you feel a shackling in your own life and a freedom that you long for and hope that you also need. What's the difference? Well, he'll share with us, Jay Harvey. You're listening to the Good Life Radio program. You can find out more about this show and get access to this program as a gift to you. Or check out A Slice of the Good Life, our national and international broadcast at goodlifeslice.com. More about Life Without Limbs at lifewithoutlimbs.org. Jay, let's talk about hope. Hope, yeah. The worldly kind and the other kind. What's the difference?
Yeah. And you know, Danny, you said something that I think is really key, and that is sometimes we assume, we have this assumption that people know the difference, or that people understand, you know, that the hope that Christ offers, they understand that, and we just go on and try to convince them that, you know, they need to choose the hope of Christ. But if they don't understand that hope is covered and born out of love and grace and forgiveness and something that Jesus chose to do for us, then it's really just another word. And so when we started to uncover that hope was such a powerful word and a misunderstood word in these places of incarceration, and then into everyday life for people who are still in bondage, like you said before, maybe not behind bars, but they're in bondage to something else, or bad relationships where they don't see hope or a future, whatever it might be. What we did was we tried to go in and assume nothing and just say, look, it is okay to hope for a peaceful life. It's okay to hope for a better job. It's okay to hope for, you know, good relationships. But when those things don't happen, and we all know that at some point, you know, we're disappointed. We put our hope in people and they disappoint us. People have put their hope in us and we've disappointed them. We didn't get the promotion. We didn't get this. This didn't come through. When that happens, there is a different hope that is still there. And that's what I share with people, is that the hope of Christ is not the cross your fingers type of hope. It is like it is said in Hebrews, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And so if it's an anchor, that means that no matter what's going on around me in my everyday life, I always know that the hope of Christ is secure in me, which guarantees me, promises me that he is with me, that he's not judging me on having a bad day where I didn't do some things that maybe I needed to do. No, he's the one who's trying to propel me to understand that all of my hope should be in him. He has the better future for me. He has the better way for me. And he's going to stick around and engineer things in your life that will point you in that direction. And as I said before, it's okay to hope in these other things. You know, a lot of people, when they say worldly hope, they think, well, that it's all bad. No, it's not. I think we need to aspire and have hopes and dreams in things and a better life. But as you well know, a lot of those things run into stumbling blocks or don't come to pass. And that's when the hope that is promised to us in Scripture really becomes evident. And that's what kind of gives us that peace that passes understanding. So when we don't understand what's going on in our life, we still can have peace because we know that hope of Christ is still in our life, in our soul, firm and secure with love and mercies that are new every day. When that distinction is made, people are free. They are free indeed to continue to hope for other things, but knowing that they're secure in the love of Christ. And I think that is such an important distinction. I gave my life to Christ and I was baptized, and yes, he delivered me from drinking. And that's a wonderful thing, but guess what? 3 months after that, I lost a job that I thought I would always have. I had financial issues, and I could have easily right then and there said, well, I put my hope in God. I put my hope in the wrong thing because all these other things are going wrong. That was the exact opposite. My hope in Christ was secure still. He was still very much secure in my soul. What he was doing through all these circumstances was preparing me and allowing me to see that my life was going to head in a completely different direction. And so we can't base our hope just on our circumstance. It has to be deeper than that. And that's what Christ offers.
So, Jay, you mentioned that there are some testimonies. As the curriculum has gone out, the emphasis, the key word, really the most prominent word is hope, the need for hope. Share with us one, two, three, whatever, sure. Some stories of some of those whom you have ministered to. Again, I go back, someone today might be listening, even behind bars, but what you're giving is a message that there can be freedom in the midst of freedom behind bars, really, freedom of the heart, freedom of the soul, freedom of the spirit.
Right.
How has that been fleshed out? We've got about 3 minutes left. How has that been fleshed out in your ministry with Life Without Limbs?
Well, I would just say again, hope is universal. And if there's somebody listening that you know feels like they're trapped, feels like they're in prison, but they're not, might even be a Christian, might even be, as you said earlier, someone that just right behind the surface that you're barely hanging on. The first thing you have to understand is that the hope that Christ offers is firm and secure. Whether you feel like it is or not is not the issue. It is there. You can count on that. And understanding that, I still want to encourage people to know that you have to have the faith to believe that for it to truly work in your life. And so, you know, I see this all the time behind bars or in other places that I minister, is that they want that hope, but they're not sure how to get it. And so I talk to them about having the faith to believe that it's there. Once they do that and they begin to understand that it's there, it becomes alive to them and they can sense it. So some of the testimonies that I've heard are not just from prisoners, but even some of the administrative staff in prisons. Mm-hmm. But one in particular that I remember was a gentleman who had been in inside for quite some time and came up to me and said, you know, today I was truly struggling. I'm a believer. I'm a transformed believer in Christ, but still in a place like this or my circumstances when they change, it challenges my hope. And he said, before you came, I had this thought that I'm realizing that I may not get out of here before I die. And that means I'm not going to be able to see my family. And I said, but when you started talking about the hope that is firm and secure, it put everything back in perspective again, that even if that's the case, that my future is in Christ. And when my hope is there, all things are possible. And he said, I don't even mean all things are possible in a way that I might get out. That wasn't even his thought. All things are possible when we have that hope, which means it's okay. God's going to never let us down. He's never going to forsake us. And if he doesn't get you out of a situation, he'll help get you through it. And so that was one. The other one was just recently. It was at a women's facility in Indiana. And a lady, a young woman who was probably about 27, stepped up and said, I have a 121-year sentence. But every day I get up now with the hope of Christ in my life, and it encourages me, compels me, and energizes me to minister to other people. It is my purpose. Now, I'm sure it wasn't the purpose when her life began, but she goes, this is where I'm at. And God has promised to always make me something good for those who believe. And so when I chose to believe that he was real, the faith that I have in that hope, she said, it unlocked in me something that has set me free, even though I'll never get out of this facility. My hope is in Christ. It's firm and secure, and this is my mission field. And you know what? I've done this long enough, Danny, to know when people are just kind of pulling your leg or not. No, this woman, she truly believed it, and she was a life transformed. And the guards and the chaplains all attested to that, to say, now she used to not be this pleasant. And once she unlocked the hope of Christ, her whole life changed, and the whole environment in the wing of her prison has changed. So the hope that I speak of is powerful. And we just need to understand that you can't base it on circumstance. If you're listening today, you need that hope, it's available. Just tell Jesus that you believe in it and you're ready to step into it.
Powerful words from Jay Harvey. Jay, thanks for being with us today. Thanks for sharing your life, your heart, and your ministry.
Thanks for having me.
Exemplary words from Jay Harvey. LifeWithoutLimbs.org. Dear friend, look, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Christ with someone near you, even as Jay has shared. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you do it? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video set up for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers or financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. And I thank you in advance. Luke 1:68, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Jay Harvey, LifeWithoutLimbs.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer, Leah Rodriguez, guest coordinator, Jamie Nelson, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just